starting with Isaiah 60, 1 through 6, then Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. The nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. In Matthew 2, 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went to the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary and his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. It is Epiphany Sunday. It's the Sunday when we celebrate the coming of the three wise men or magi or kings or however you want to put it, which was actually 12 days after the birth of Jesus. I know people argue with me sometimes because I tell them the kings were not in the nativity scene, but it is what it is. As far as society is concerned, Christmas is done and over with. But Christmas to the Christians and in the church year, Christmas actually starts on December 25th and goes for 12 days after that, ending on the Sunday of Epiphany, which is where the silly song, "The 12 Days of Christmas," comes from, where "my true love brings to me the partridge in a pear tree" and all that. That was about the 12 days starting at December 25th and going through to the Epiphany. And you'll notice, as I read Matthew, it doesn't say anything about them being at the stable or the inn. It says, "Go into the house where the young child was." They went into a house. And I've always been of the belief that one of the big reasons God sent the wise men or kings or however you want to put it with their gifts to Jesus at the home where they lived was to provide them with the funds to be able to escape to Egypt. Because you know, shortly after this, Herod, after he realized the kings had outsmarted him, decided that he was going to have all the male children 2 years and younger killed. So they had to escape to Egypt. And I believe that that's a big part of why the gold and frankincense and myrrh, because those were some pretty expensive things. In Epiphany, being a special time, it's when God revealed himself to all people everywhere. And that's a very important thing for us to remember. God came to us in the form of Jesus, to all people and all nations. And it's interesting to note that the first people that bowed down and worshiped Jesus, besides the lowly shepherds, were not Christians or even Jews. They were men from the east. The Bible doesn't really say there were three of them. We've made that assumption by reading it that with the three gifts there must have been three wise men. We don't know that. But he sent them from the east. And again, we don't know where they came from. It could have been Iraq or Iran or Syria or Saudi Arabia or wherever. We don't know. But the important thing is there was a point there. One, like I said, I feel like that was to provide them the resources to escape to Egypt. And two, it was God showing us that he came for all people. And of course, this was before the time of Muhammad. Muhammad hadn't been born yet, so there wouldn't have been any Muslims involved. But we don't know what other religious views or pagan views were out there where God sent Jesus to. There's a book called Shoulda, Coulda, Woulda. I'm sure everybody knows that phrase. Boy, shoulda, coulda, woulda. And it talks about three men. And each of these men carried a backpack, or a sack, if you will, one on the front and one in the back. The first man was asked, okay, what's in your sacks? Well, in the sack on my back are all the good things friends and family have done for me. That way they're hidden from view. In the front sack are all the bad things that have happened to me and all the mistakes I've made. So every once in a while, I'll stop and take them out of that front sack and look over the bad things that have happened to me and the things that I have done wrong and think about them. And because he stopped so much to concentrate on all those bad things in his life, his pace was slow and he made very little progress. Now the second man was asked about his sacks and he said exactly the opposite. In the front sack are all the good things that have happened to me. I like to see them, so quite often I take them out to show them off to people and reminisce. The back sack, I keep all my mistakes, all my regrets in there and carry them all the time. Sure, they're heavy. They slow me down, but you know, for some reason I just can't put them down. Now the third man had a very different response. He says, the sack in the front is where I keep all the blessings I've experienced, all the great things other people have done for me. The weight isn't a problem. In fact, it keeps me moving forward. But as for the second sack, the sack on my back, it's empty. There's nothing in it. I cut a big hole in the bottom of it, so when I put my regrets and mistakes and all those bad things that happened to me in the top, they fall right out the bottom. So they don't add any extra weight. They don't slow me down. But the sack in the front with all those good things keeps me moving forward. And those are some good analogies for how different people view their lives, how things go. Some people keep all those bad things in front of them and they bring them up all the time. And it slows them down. Some people keep the good things in front, which is okay, but all that heavy stuff in the back slows them down. Now, the way God really wants it to be for us is the good things in the front, not so much that we can keep pulling them out and reminiscing about them, but because they keep us moving forward. And we should not dwell on the bad things that happen to us. We should drop them in and let them fall out. Although I know most of us have a really hard time sometimes forgetting about the bad things that happen to us. So, on this first Sunday of the new year, we talk about the carrying of the hurts and regrets that weighed us down. Maybe something that happened to us in 2018. Maybe something that happened prior to that. But we have a tendency to look at those things and worry about them. But what we should really be doing is saying, okay, 2018 is over with. Anything that happened to me prior to my life, prior in my life, is overdone with, gone. You can't change it. You can't do anything about it. So why worry with it? And pray that God be with you in 2019 and it be a terrific year, that you be happy and healthy and prosperous, and that he walk with you daily and you feel his presence. And that's really what the day of Epiphany is all about. It's the first day in the season of Epiphany, which goes from this Sunday to the Transfiguration Sunday when Jesus fully reveals himself. So we've got the 12 days of Christmas, and then we've got the season of Epiphany up until the Transfiguration. Now, one of the things that society has done is they have taken Epiphany and they've kind of changed the meaning of it a little bit. People will say, "Oh, I had an epiphany." You've discovered something that you didn't realize, or you've become aware of something, or you've gained a little bit of knowledge about something. You've had an epiphany, and it's life-changing. And that's not so much what it's about. It's about starting fresh. So I guess you could say maybe it is a little bit life-changing. There is a lady named Bessie Pender who decided she was sick and tired of being sick and tired. Have you ever been there? Gosh, I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired. This poor gal married young. Her and her husband, Ben, started a family. She was barely 18 years old. She had always had aspirations of going to college, getting a degree, and teaching. But having started a family so young, she wound up being a stay-at-home mom, and in order to make ends meet, wound up being a custodian at a school there in town. Well, she did that for 10 years, very frustrated about it. Couldn't face it anymore. She'd gotten sick and tired of being sick and tired. So one night while she was cleaning a dirty classroom, she sat down and had a tearful talk with God. Shortly after that, she decided she was going to sign up for her first college class. For 7 years, she struggled to balance job, classes, and family. You ever been there where you're trying to juggle a job and family and get ahead a little bit by taking some college classes? It's hard. It really is. But she struggled through all that. Eventually, her persistence paid off. Today, she is a fifth grade teacher in the Norfolk public school system where she used to scrub and mop floors. We all have difficulties in our lives. Maybe something similar to Bessie Pender. Maybe worse, maybe not quite as bad, but we all have difficulties in our lives. Maybe you are sick and tired of being sick and tired. Maybe you need a new start, an epiphany in your life. Well, this is the best place to start that, because you can sit here amongst other like-minded people and talk to God. Have a tearful talk to God if you want to. I don't think anybody would mind if you had a tearful talk with God this morning. But know that God is with you and God will help you in whatever way is necessary to continue moving forward. The symbol of light is quite appropriate for Christ in a dark season of the year, in a dark time we live in. Isaiah in 60, verse 1, "Arise, shine, for your light is come." Isaiah was a great prophet. He knew a lot of things. He had a lot of conversations with God. He predicted a lot of things that really came out almost exactly like he said they would. "Arise, shine, for your light has come." And that's great news for us, because our light has come through Jesus. And in him there is no darkness. He can completely remove darkness if we let him. And darkness is a world without Christ. And we see a lot of that around us today. And we need to get that light out there to them. They need Jesus. There's a book called The Fistful of Fig Newtons by Gene Shepherd, and it talks about the future. A group of archaeologists, and they are digging around Manhattan, New York, you know, the advertising capital of the world. And as they're digging, they run across several canisters that have videotape in them. So they weren't quite sure what this videotape was. They finally found a way to play the videotape. And the first advertisement that they wound up seeing kind of confused them a little bit. There's this stern male figure in a white outfit, kind of looks like maybe a guard or an officer or something. And he says, "Ladies, please don't squeeze the Charmin." You remember that commercial? Three women, they continue to squeeze those rolls. And gets to the point where poor Mr. Whipple starts squeezing the Charmin as well. And he says, "I just can't help it." And the thing is, they try to figure out what the significance is of these white rolls. What is it about them that people can't resist, that they have to squeeze the Charmin? And they wonder, what was civilization all about? Life is confusing. And just as much as those archaeologists may have been confused about this commercial, and if you've ever gone back and looked at commercials from back when you were younger, some of them are really funny, and some of them are really strange. So you can see how they might have been a little confused. But life is confusing. You cannot always explain the things that happen in life. Now, Charlie Brown was asked by Lucy one time. She says, "Life is a mystery, Charlie Brown. Do you know the answer?" Of course, Charlie Brown starts spouting off things like, "Be kind, don't smoke, be prompt, smile a lot, eat sensibly, avoid cavities, mark your ballot carefully, avoid too much sun, send overseas packages early, love all creatures above and below, insure your belongings and try to keep the ball low." And before he can spout out another platitude, Lucy interrupts and says, "Hold real still, Charlie Brown, because I'm going to hit you with a very sharp blow on the nose." And we can understand Lucy's frustration. We get confused about life, and we're looking for answers, and all we wind up getting is the same platitudes that Charlie Brown was spouting off. It doesn't really answer anything. We need encouragement in our lives sometimes when things get a little rough or a little confusing. We need somebody to put their hand on our shoulders and let us know it's going to be okay, to help us, encourage us. And again, that's why we're here this morning, because we're with like-minded people and we lift each other up, because we fellowship with each other, we care about what's going on in each other's lives, and we help each other out. And just like Isaiah says, "Arise, shine, your light has come." So we pray that this new year gets kicked off to a good start. We pray that this is going to be a great new year, that great things are going to happen. So if you happen to have had a rough 2018, I'm sorry that it happened, and I pray that you have a better 2019. But know that Christ is always with us, because light is appropriate for Christ. He's our guide, our strength, and he fills our life with meaning. There's a book called Religious Revolt Against Reason. It talks about a young man who went swimming in a harbor for the Atlantic Ocean. And as he's out there swimming, he notices the little sparkly things in the water with him. And he gets to the point where he decides he needs to get back on shore. And he looks around him and he notices there's all the stars and the sparkling lights in the sky, and it kind of matches what he's seeing in the ocean, and he gets lost and confused and doesn't know which way to go. And finally, he figures it out. He follows the star that guides him, just like the wise men, just like we can follow, not necessarily the star, but the light. It's important. Without light, we are lost. I'm sure most of you have heard the song, "I Can Only Imagine." They even did a movie about it. I wouldn't recommend the movie. It wasn't that good. But it's a neat song, "I Can Only Imagine." And it kind of goes like this. "Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine." So when we get to that point where we are standing there with Christ, the light of the world, how are we going to react? Can you imagine standing there talking to Jesus? It's hard. We don't know how we're going to react. But the light of Christ is important. And every time we bring that light into somebody else's life, we hasten the day when the whole world will walk in the light of God's presence. And that has always been God's wish for the world. And God will not be defeated. There will be a day when nations shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And there will come a time when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God is at work in this world. And He is here for all people. And that's what Epiphany is all about. Amen?